Tonight's shiur is on Parsha Shlach, which is this week's Parsha, and the title of the shiur tonight is Digging Their Own Graves. Tonight's shiur, I want to address the onesh, the punishment to Klal Yisrael for the Cheta Meraglim. I think there's a lot of depth in the punishment and the onesh. We're going to take it from a pshat standpoint, and we're also going to address a famous medrash about the onesh. And of course, we're going to have to go into the chait of Klal Yisrael by the Meraglim to understand the onesh on a deeper level. But there's a lot of depth to the onesh, to the punishment that is given and doled out on Klal Yisrael. Let's take it from Bamidbar Perek Yedaled, Pasuk Chaf Vav. I'm just going to read through the psukim and start thinking about questions. Okay? Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe vel Aharon lemor. Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aaron, saying, Ad masai lo eda hara'a hazos asher hema malinim alai es tlunos bnei Yisrael asher hema malinim alai shamati. So how long is this evil congregation who complain against me going to exist? Rashi says that's referring to the Meraglim themselves. The complaints of Klal Yisrael, which they caused to complain against me, meaning the Meraglim caused Klal Yisrael to complain against Hashem, I have heard. Shamati. Okay, now what's his response? Emor Alehem, Hashem says, you know, say to them, Chai ani ne'um Hashem im lo kasher dibartem be'oznai kein es elachem. As I live, Hashem said, if not as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Okay, so Hashem is saying that I'm going to do what you said you wanted to be done, which we're going to explain. Bamidbar hazeh yiplu figreichem b'chol pekudeichem l'chol misbarchem mi'ben esrim shana v'mala asher halinosem alai. So all your corpses will fall in the desert. The entire number of individuals from 20 years old and above who complained against me. Im atem tavo el ha'aretz asher nasasi es adi l'shaken eschem ba ki im kalev ben yifuneh v'yoshua ben nun. You shall not go into the land in which Hashem, you know, settled for them or set up for them, except for Kalev and Yoshua. V'tapachem asher amartem lavaz yeh v'hevesi osam yadu es ha'aret asher ma'astem ba. And the infants of whom you said they will be as spoils, I will bring them there, and they will come to know the land in which you despised. Ufigrechem atem yiplu b'midbar hazeh. But you will be corpses, and you shall fall in the midbar. Okay, I'm going to keep going, just read through the pshat of the psukim. Uvnechem yiroim b'midbar arba'im shna v'nasu es nusechem atob pigrechem b'midbar. Your children shall wander in the desert for 40 years, and they should bear your defection until the end, till the last corpses fall in the midbar. B'mespar yamim asher tartem es ha'aretz arba'im yom lashana yom lashana tisu es avanusichem arba'im shana vidatem es tenuasi. And it'll be one year for each day that the Meraglim traveled, which is 40 years. That's how long they will travel in the desert and carry the chait. And then you will know my tenuasi means my alienation from Klal Yisrael. And then he goes on, one more pasuk. Ani Hashem dibarti im lo zos aseh l'chol eda hazos hanoadim alai b'midbar hazeh yitomu v'shom yamusu. All of Klal Yisrael from 20 and above will die in the midbar. Okay? So let me just summarize. Hashem is explaining to Moshe and Aaron that this is the punishment that will befall Klal Yisrael because of the fact that the Meraglim convinced them to complain against God, to complain against Hashem. And as a result, this punishment was appropriate for them. And what is the punishment? The punishment is basically that they will die in the desert. Okay? But there are a lot of smaller points in the nature of this punishment. And there are a lot of interesting psukim in the set of psukim. So one of the beginning of the psukim, if you look at Chav Vav, Chav Zayin, Chav Ches, there's a strange concept there that I want to address, or at least I want to ask some questions on it. And maybe we're going to ask many questions as usual, and there's going to be one theme or one idea. So if we look in Chav Zayin, he says, Ad Masai, Hashem says, Ad Masai la eda hara'a hazos asher hema malinim alai es tlunos bnei Yisrael asher hema malinim alai shamati. So how long is this evil congregation going to exist who complain against me? The complaints of Klal Yisrael, which they caused Klal Yisrael to complain against me, I have heard. Okay? So what is that referring to? Emor alehem chai ani ne'um Hashem im lo kasher dibartem be'oznai kein es elachem. So Hashem, he's saying that I will do what they asked for, what they requested, and he's making, we're going to see from Rashi, he's making a shvuah, an oath, I will do what they requested. So let's just look at the pshat in Rashi and understand what Hashem is referring to when he says that he's going to punish Klal Yisrael with the very thing that they asked for. So what does that mean? So if we look at number two in Rashi, on Pasuk Chaf Ches, he says, Chai Ani, as I exist, Lashon Shvuah. So you say, Chai Ani, you say that as long as I live, that's the language of an oath. So Hashem is making an oath that this will definitely occur. Im lo chein asa kivyochol eni chai. He's basically saying, I'm staking my existence on this, that this will happen. It doesn't mean that God could not exist. It's kivyochol. But he's saying this will definitely happen as true as my existence is, this will happen. What will happen? Kasher dibartem. So this is an important Rashi. He says, Shebikashtem mimeni o bamidbar hazeh lu masnu. That Klal Yisrael, they asked Hashem, or they said to Hashem in their complaint, it would be better had we died or have if we die in the desert. Okay, so what is that referring to? If you look, if you skip to number four, just to get the pshat of what he means, if you skip to number four on the source sheet, in Pasuk Aleph it says, Vatisa kol ha'idah vayitnu es kolom vayifkua am balaylahu, that the whole Eidah, they cried on that night, vayilonu al Moshe v'Aaron kol b'nei Yisrael vayomru alehem kol ha'idah lu mosnu be'eret Mitzrayim o bamidbar hazeh lu mosnu. So they complained against Moshe and Aaron, all of b'nei Yisrael, and they said, Lu Masnu, it would be better that we had died in Eretz Mitzrayim or in the Midbar. Hazel Lu Masnu. V'lama Hashem meviu sanu el Eretz Hazos l'npoba cherev. Why is Hashem bringing us to Eretz Yisrael to die at the sword? Nashinu v'tapenu yulavaz, and our women and our children will be the spoils of other nations. Halo tov lanu shuv Mitzrayim. It's better that we return to Mitzrayim. Vayomru ish alachiv nitna rosh v'nashuv Mitzrayim. So they said, let's go back to Mitzrayim. So what is Rashi referring to? He's referring to Klal Yisrael in their complaint. They say it's better for us, or it would have been better had we died in Mitzrayim or die in the Midbar rather than to have gone into Eretz Yisrael and be killed by the Cherev. Okay? So Hashem is saying in the Onesh, I'm going to give them what they asked for. They, in their complaints, they mention the fact that they would rather die in the Midbar, so I'm going to give them what they asked for. Okay? Why is that... Why is that really strange? What's the problem with that? Any questions on that? So I think one question, what kind of response is this by Hashem? So Klal Yisrael, were they really legitimately saying that they'd want to die in the Midbar? This wasn't a real, it doesn't seem like Lu Masnu, that it would be better that we died in Mitzrayim or in the Midbar. It doesn't seem like it's a real request on the part of Klal Yisrael. They're simply saying that they don't want to die in Eretz Yisrael. They want to. And so what does it mean that Hashem is repaying them for what they complained? Lu Masnu. They're not really, do Klal Yisrael really want to die? Is that a genuine request on the part of Klal Yisrael? Or is it that in the heat of their complaints, they're making an argument? So we're going to have to explain what the nature of the Lu Masnu is. What it means that they'd be willing to die, or that it would be better to die in the Midbar or in Mitzrayim. But I think one question, just to start off the shir with, is what exactly is the nature of Hashem repaying a request of Lu Masnu onto Klal Yisrael when they really didn't, I don't think they genuinely wanted to die. So why? What does it mean that Hashem is repaying this request? And what's the justice or what's the idea behind Hashem in formulating his Onesh, formulating it around the request of Klal Yisrael? What is the idea behind that? Okay? So that's question number one. And I'm gonna keep summarizing the question so we keep them in mind. Okay, so who was this Onesh? Who did this Onesh apply to? The idea that everybody would die and that they want to go into Eretz Yisrael. V'chol pekudeichem, if we go on in Rashi, v'chol pekudeichem l'chol misbarchem. Kola nimna l'chol misbar. So anybody who was counted in all the countings of Klal Yisrael, sh'atem nim nimbo, kigon latseis v'lavo latsava v'laseish shkolem. So there are many different times in the Torah where the Jewish people were counted. And the age that the people were counted at was typically 20. Kol ha-menuyim l'chol osan misparos yamusu. Anybody who was included in that count died. The elu hein miben chaf shana. And those, as I said before, those are the people, the individuals that are over 20. L'hotzi shvato shel Levi. She'ein pekudehem miben esrim. Okay, so Levi was not included in the Onesh. Apparently, they weren't involved at all in the Cheder Meraglim. But everybody else who was over 20 and who were typically counted in the counts of Klal Yisrael were involved in this Onesh. Okay, so we're going to come back to that idea. But everybody over 20 were involved except for Levi. So it's important to just know factually who the Onesh applied to. So there's two points. The Onesh was Misa, was death in the Midbar. And the other idea was that it was a repayment of Klal Yisrael's complaints, and it applied to those who were 20. Okay, but it wasn't just those who are 20. Look at number 3. So this is an interesting, I think, twist on everything, but it's a Gemara. It's Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, number 3. So it's addressing, the Gemara is addressing the age group of the people who were affected by the Onesh, who weren't allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. El Omar of Acha Bar Yaakov. Lo nigzara gzera lo al pachos mi ben esrim velo al yeser mi ben shishim. The gzera did not apply to those who were under 20 and those who were over 60. Okay, so if you were under 20, let's say you're 18 years old at the time that the Meraglim occurred, you were allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. And if you're over 60, if you're 61 or 62, then you also were allowed to go in. Lo al pachos mi ben esrim. So where do we know this from? Dichsev mi ben esrim shana v'mala. From 20 years old and above, velo al yeser mi ben shishim, and not more than 60. So anybody who's over 60 was still allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. So where do they learn this out from? Gamar, they learn it out from vamala vamala ma'arachin. So by arachin, which is where a person would make a neder to bring a certain value of themselves or somebody else to the mikdash, there's an idea, mala halan yeser mi ben shishim kepachos mi ben chaf, afkan yeser mi ben shishim kepachos mi ben esrim. So just like over there by arachin, that when you're over 60, your value is similar to that who is under 20. So too over here, that the person, the individual is over 60 was equated to somebody who is under 20. Okay? So what is the Gemara saying? The Gemara is saying that the Onesh only applied to those between 20 and 60, but not those who are under 20 and those who are over 60. Now, what's strange about this? What's a question that we can ask on this Gemara?
How can you make that connection between the,
Arachin? Yeah, good question. Yeah, good question. Okay, so we're going to answer that. So what is the connection between Arachin, where we compare the person over 60 to the person under 20? So what is the nature of that comparison? Good. And what else? So why would you say that a person under 20 should not be penalized and go into the Eretz Yisrael?
Maybe you could say that they're too young to make decisions or something of that sort.
Good.
Still moldable.
Okay, I like that. So that's very logical. So a person under 20, it makes sense. Why, even if they were involved, let's say they were involved in the complaints. A person under 20, in general, they don't make the most informed decisions. And they're not exactly the most responsible, a person under 20. Once you hit 20, there's a certain level of responsibility. There's a certain onshim applied to you, min hashamayim. So it makes sense to me, and to Debbie as well, that a person under 20 would not be punished like the rest of Klal Yisrael. But what's the question? What about a person over 60? Why shouldn't a person over 60 who is involved in complaining against God by the Meraglim, why shouldn't he be punished? That person be punished?
Teaching a lesson to the next generation who's under 20, and maybe between 20 and 60 is the most influential age. And once you're older, the younger people can't relate to them as much. They're not really taking their actions and what they say.
But shouldn't it be that shouldn't a person be punished for complaining against God? A person over 60, why are they getting off the hook? Why are they off the hook? I understand why the under 20 year old is off the hook, because they don't. Maybe they weren't thinking right, or they didn't think through their decision to complain against Hashem. But the person over 60 should have known better. So why are they off the hook? Why don't they get punished with the rest of Klal Yisrael? Or why do they get to enjoy?
Anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll die anyways.
Okay, but he doesn't say that. It doesn't say that they'll die anyways. It just says that, and some of them might have not. Some of them might have gone into Eretz Yisrael. So why aren't they affected by the punishment?
Okay. Well, they're not going to be reproducing though.
So,
it's 60.
I know, but what's
maybe they're worried that the people between 20 and 40 are not just it's not just a flaw that exists within them. Their flaw will be passed down.
Okay, all right. But, okay, fine. All right.
We're not really worried about a flaw being passed down.
Okay. All right, so we'll okay. So that's a good approach. One approach, they're not worried about the flaw being passed down because I guess you're saying that they're too old to have children. I don't know why a 60-year-old man can't have more children. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu is pretty old.
It's a big chance. I'm just saying it's less likely.
Okay. All right. So that's one approach. But let's just keep the question on the back burner for now. Maybe we'll have a different approach as the share develops. So the first question, so let me just bring back the questions. One question is, what is this idea of Lumosnu, that Hashem is repaying them for their complaint? Was the complaint really genuine? And another question is, what is the connection between Arachin, the, you know, the value of a human being in terms of, you know, bringing, going to the Mikdash and bringing, you know, and bringing a korban, or and this case and this situation and the Onesh? And another question is, why is a person over 60 not punished like the rest of Klal Yisrael? Or I understand a person under 20 because they're not as responsible, but a person over 60, you would think they're, you know, responsible adults, and they made a responsible decision or an irresponsible decision to complain against Hashem, so they should be punished like everybody else. So why is that? What's the, why should it be like that? Okay.
I have another question.
Sure.
Is this a, like, everyone in that group complained? What about separating the people that complained from the ones that didn't complain?
Right. That's a good question.
It's, yeah, I know the child of maybe, but I'm sure that's not everybody.
Right. It seems like everybody did. I don't know. I mean, it sounds like from the Torah that everybody did except for Kalev and Yoshua from the story, and apparently B'nai Levi. But it's, that is a good question. Okay? So maybe, I don't know if we're going to be able to answer that, but it's definitely a good question. Okay, let's move on. So we're keeping the questions in the back, in the back of our minds. And let's move on to, we read through number four, the source sheets. And we went through the whole entire idea of the Lumosnu, the idea of their complaint that they want us to die, and that was just to bring in the first question, to support the first question. So what exactly, here's another interesting idea. So if you look in Lamed Gimel, on Pasuk Lamed, because we're addressing different aspects of the Onesh as presented by the Torah. If you look in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, it says, Uvnechem Yuroim Bamidbar Arba'im Shana. So the Onesh was that they would wander in the desert like shepherds for 40 years. So why 40? So the Torah seems to indicate that 40 or 40 years is tied to the days that the Meraglim, the spies, traveled in Eretz Yisrael. It was 40 days, and it's 1 year per day. But Rashi also mentions Arba'im Shana. He says Lo Meis Echad Mehem Pachos Miben Shishim. Nobody died less than 60 years old. So even the youngest ones, the 20-year-olds, who there was a decree against them that they should die in the Midbar, would at least be able to live to 60. Lechach Nigzar Arba'im. That's why 40 was chosen. So Rashi is saying there's another reason why 40 was chosen, because, or so that, even the youngest individual, the 20-year-old, could live to 60. Kedei shiyu osam shel b'nei esrim magiyin l'chlal shishim. So that the 20-year-olds would reach 60. V'shana rishona haisa b'chlal, the first years included. V'afal pi shekadma l'shloach ha-meraglim, even though it occurred before, because the meraglim were in the second year, l'fi shemisha asu asa egel, so now this is a different idea. Okay, l'fi, he says, l'fi shemisha asu asa egel also gzera zu b'machshava. So why does the first year count? Because when Klal Yisrael did the Egel, so there is this thought that arose in a Kaddish Baruch Hu's mind, so to speak. But he waited until they filled, they fulfilled it, their potential, I guess, for this punishment. So there's a connection between the Egel and the Meraglim, and Hashem's repayment and His justice on the Meraglim was connected to the Cheda Egel, the Afkan Tisues Avonosechem. In our Psukim, it says that Klal Yisrael have to live and they have to carry the burden of their sins. Velo Avonosechem with Avonoschem. It's not singular. Shtei Avonos, Shel Egel Veshel Tzluna. There were two Avonos. One Avon was the Egel and the other one was the complaints. V'chishev lahem, or v'chashev lahem, b'minyan chayeh, miktash shana kekula, u'kshenichnesu l'shna shishim, mesu osam shel b'nei esrim. Okay, so he's making 2 points, Rashi. One point is that the reason for 40 is that the 20-year-olds would be able to live till 60. And the other idea is that there's a connection between the chet of the Egel and the chet of the Meraglim. And Hashem, He waited to repay Klal Yisrael for the chet of the egel, and once they did the chet meraglim, then they were repaid for the chet egel. Okay? So now we also have, we must have some questions on these Rashis. What are the questions? Any questions on the Rashi? So one question... So one question is, what is the connection between the chet of the meraglim and the chet ego? We have to define it and explain what this relationship is. It's not just accidental that Klal Yisrael is getting punished for both, but there must be a relationship and a tie-in between the two. So what is that tie-in? Okay? And what else? Another thing that's interesting to me is, what is this concept that the 20-year-old had to live to 60? What is the idea of 60 in general? What's the concept of 60? Anybody? What is the con? When you think of the age of 60, any 60-year-olds? I know there's one on the phone line. What is the idea of 60? 60 is typically the beginning of old age. Okay, so if we look in the Avos, it's famous Mishnah in Avos. It goes through all the different milestones that a person reaches at different ages. And it says, "Hu ayo Omer ben chameishanim lemikra ben esher lemishnah." So different ages of learning. 5 years old, you teach them Torah and how to read the Torah. Ben esher lemishnah, you teach them mishnayos. Ben shlosh esrei lemitzvos, when you turn 13, you do mitzvos. Ben chamish esrei letalmud. Ben shmona esrei lechuppah, you get married. Ben esrim lirdof. Ben shloshim lekoach, you're strongest by 30. Ben arbaim lebina. Ben chamishim leitza. Ben shishim lezikna. So when you hit 60, it's the beginning of old age. Ben shivim laseva, and that's a different level of old age when you're 70. So 60 is really a full life. When a person reaches 60, you start, or you're called a zakin. You're called an older person, a wiser person. Okay, so it seems like from Rashi, that Rashi is saying that it was important that the onesh be 40 years. Why is that? So that the 20-year-old could at least hit 60. It doesn't seem, what's strange about Rashi, it doesn't seem like it's such a bad onesh, you know, it's bad that they can't go into Eretz Yisrael, but it's not like Hashem is really taking away their life, or their you know, a full life. They're getting a full life. They're living from 20 to 60. They get to live till 60 years old. So 60 years old is already, in the Torah's concept, it's already old age. So it's a strange punishment. To me, it seems like an odd punishment. That it's one thing if Hashem's angry at Klal Yisrael because they complain against him, so just kill them off, or kill them off at a younger, you know, at a younger point. Why did it have to be that everybody got to live to an old age? It doesn't seem to fit into the idea of a punishment. A punishment, to me, just from a superficial standpoint, the punishment would be that they should die at different ages, but not that everybody gets the right to live to age 60, to an old age. So why do they, or what is the idea behind them living to 60 or getting to live to 60? Okay? So once again, we have a number of questions. So let me just run through the questions. Number one, and there is going to be one nice theme and a lot, I think a deep idea in trying to explain this area. So one idea is Lu Mosnu. So why is Hashem repaying Klal Yisrael for their desire to die in the Midbar when they didn't really desire? I don't think they really desired to die in the Midbar. So what is the Mida Keneged Mida there, and why is it mentioned? Another idea is the age between 20 and 60, that why would a person over 60 years old not be punished if they were involved in complaining? They are responsible. They're not irresponsible like the under 20-year-old, so why shouldn't they be punished? What's the connection between Arachin, the Gemara is learning now from? And then there's two strange points in this Rashi. One is that the 20-year-old had to live to 60 within the Onesh. And the other idea is that there's a connection between the Egel and the Meraglim. So what is that connection? We're going to have to answer all those questions. And they're all going to come together at the end of this year. Okay? Any other questions that I'm missing? Yeah.
Just to clarify, so all of them would have to live for another 40 years? Or could they just die naturally sometimes?
No, they would have to. It sounds like they would have to live. They would have to live to 60. Okay? All right.
Can I make an attempt at one of the questions? I don't know how it's going to fit with everything else, though.
Well, let's do one more source, because I want to. It's like I want to just do one more source, and then you can give any answers. Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks. Okay. There's one more source here that's very important. It's really the title of the shir, which is digging their own graves. It's famous medrash quoted by Rashi in two different Gemaras. It's really the same Gemara, but one's in Tainus and the other one's in Baba Basra. And it seems to be a literal medrash and not metaphorical medrash, because if you learn those Gemaras, there's a lot. I didn't bring in the Tosos, but there's a lot of questions that Tosos asks on the medrash to try to reconcile it in terms of the shot, in terms of the literal meaning. But it's a famous medrash, and we always learn about it, and we have to understand what it means. So Omar, it says Rabba Bar Bar Chana Omar Rabbi Yochanan Yom Shekalubo Mesei Midbar. Why do we celebrate on Tu B'Av? There's different reasons given in the Gemara as to why Tu B'Av is a happy day in the Jewish religion. But one reason is it was the day that all the generation of the Midbar, they stopped dying. And there's this Midrash comes about, Shekalu Mesei Midbar. It says, Desanya, there's a Braisa, Kol Arbaim Shana, it's really, I think it's Medrash Eicha, but Desanya, Kol Arbaim Shana Shayu Bamidbar, Bechol Erev Tishabav, Haya Karuz Yotev Omer, Tse'u Lachbor. So every Erev Tishabav in the Midbar, there would be an announcer, and he would say, go out, the announcer would go out, and he would say, Tse'u Lachbor, go out and dig. V'haya Kol Echad Ve'echad Yotze V'chofer Lo Kever. And everybody would dig their own graves, V'yashen Bo, and then they would sleep in that grave. Shema Yomas Kodem Shiachbor, because maybe they would die before they dug their graves. Ulamachar, and then the next day, Hakaraz Yotze V'kore, the announcer would go out and he would say, Yibadlu or Yivdalu Chayim Min Amesim. The ones who are living should separate from the ones who are dead. V'chol Shehaya Bo Nefesh Chayim, those who were alive, Haya Omid V'yotze, would get up and leave. V'chol Shana Hayu Osen Kain, they would do this every year. V'shnas Arbaim Shana Asu, on the 40th year they did it. Ulamachar Amdu Kulan Chayim, but nobody died on the 40th year. Everybody was alive. V'chevan Shiro Kach Tamohu V'amru, so they saw this and they were bewildered. How come nobody died? Shema Ta'inu B'cheshbon Achodesh. Maybe we made a mistake in our calculations in terms of the days of the month. Chazru v'shachvu b'kivrehen b'leilos ad l'chamishasar. They kept going back to the same graves until the 15th of Av. V'chevan sh'ra'u sh'nismala halavana b'chamishasar. Once they saw that the moon was full on the 15th, v'lo meisach l'mehem, and nobody died. Yadu, they knew, sh'cheshbon chodesh mechuvan, that their math was good. Ukfar Arbaim Shana Shogzera Nishlamu, and the 40-year decree had been over. Kavu Osu Ador Osu Ayom Yom Tov. And therefore, they made this day a very happy day. So the Gemara is explaining, and this Medrash is explaining, why Tu B'Av, the 15th of Av, is a very happy day. Why is it a happy day? This Medrash is an interesting Medrash. It's saying that every Erev Tisha B'Av, the people who were involved between 20 and 60, who the Gzeru was upon, would go out, they would dig their own graves, they would sleep in their graves, and then they would get up in the morning. And some people died, and some people lived. And then they would do this every single year until the 40th year. The 40th year, there was some type of... They thought that they had mistaken on the calculations of the month, but nobody died, and they made it a big yontif. They made it a big celebration. Okay? And this is... it's not... I mentioned before that I don't think that this medrash is metaphorical. I think I think it's literal. I think they really did this, but there's an idea being presented by the medrash, and it's very strange. What kind of theme or concept is the medrash getting at by saying that they would have to dig their own graves? Why would they have to do that if Hashem really wanted them to die in the midbar? So just strike them down or just kill them. Why on every Erev Tisha B'Av did they have to go out and dig their own graves and lie in their own graves and sleep there and then wake up in the morning and see if they died or not? What was the purpose of that? Why make that part of the onesh? Okay? All right. One more thing. Sorry. I said to Debbie before that she can offer a possibility, but just one more thing, one more idea, and then we'll get to some approaches, or one approach, really. Okay, so the number nine, there's a famous Gemara. It's on Tisha B'Av. It's about Tisha B'Av, and it says that one of the things that we mourn for on Tisha B'Av is the Chet HaMeraglim. And the reason why is because the night that they cried was Tisha B'Av. Vatisa kol ha'ida, if you look at number nine in Tainus, Staf Chav Tes Amad Aleph, Vatisa kol ha'ida v'yitnu es kolom b'yivku ambalayla ahu. So they cried on that night. Amar Rabba Amar Yochanan. Osa Laila Leil Tisha B'Av Haya, it was the night of Tisha B'Av. Amar Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Atem Bechisem Bechia Shel Chinam, Va'ani Kovei Lechem Bechia Ledoros. You guys are crying for nothing, for no reason, and I'm gonna set up a crying for you for all generations, meaning Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is a day of mourning, and it's tied to the fact that they cried. So also another just point that I think will tie into the shir is this idea of Bechiya Shel Chinam. What is the concept of Bechiya Shel Chinam? Okay, a cry of nothingness, with no meaning. Okay, those are all the questions. Should I repeat just a couple of the questions one last time? I'll give people time to think. So Lou Mosnu, first question, what does that have to do with the Onesh? It's not a genuine request on the part of Klal Yisrael. I don't think they really wanted to die. So what does it mean that Hashem's repaying them by killing them in the Midbar? The ages are really strange. The idea of a 60-year-old not being punished, why not? Why? What's the connection between Archin and our situation? And then why did every 20-year-old have to live to 60 or get the right to live to 60? The connection between the Egel and the Meraglim. And then we have this strange medrash about them digging their own graves, which is a famous, pretty scary medrash that probably scared many of us. I know myself as a child. You learn this when you're younger, this medrash, but it's a very scary medrash. So what is that concept? Why is that part of the Onesh, that they should dig their own graves and sleep in their own graves and then see if they died? And then the concept of Bechiya Shel Chinam, that what is the nature or the flaw of a cry of nothingness, of Chinam? Okay? All right. So, Debbie, you said you had an approach? Or one question? Answer, if you can answer any questions, yeah. Maybe it'll okay. Give us an opening.
Well, I was thinking about two of the questions. The first one was the connection between the ego and the Meraglim. What's okay. Happening there?
Okay.
So, I think that in terms of the Egel, if I recall correctly, they were punished because they were like trying to make something physical, like of Hashem. They were trying to like it's like I don't know. I wish there was a better term for this, but like it's as if they like didn't have faith in the sense that they needed something physical around them. They didn't like trust in Hashem, so they wanted to build it. So it's the same thing in them complaining in that they don't have like they don't see God doing something in their everyday, so therefore they lack the ability to believe in God. So I think that concept of fits in with them digging in the ground because they basically have to go in the ground and trust in something that they can't see.
Okay, all right. Trust in something, but they, how could they trust in something they can't see?
There's. I'm not using the best terminology. I'm trying to think of better words. But basically, like, they're so attached to physical things that this is, like, forcing them to, like, you know, like, be very vulnerable.
Okay, I agree with that. But I do agree with that, okay. But on the other hand, they do complain against God a lot, but they're not given this. I mean, there's a lot of complaints in the Torah of Klal Yisrael against God, but this one, they're given a pretty severe punishment for their complaints. It's different. And also, but just another point, by the Egel, I don't think the chait was more tied to Moshe, that they, it seems like they couldn't exist without Moshe, because they miscalculated Moshe. They, in fact, there's a lot of Mefarshim say that it wasn't real Avodah Zarah there by the Egel, but they were trying to replace Moshe, but they did have an improper relationship to Moshe. So it wasn't really, it was more of an improper relationship to Moshe than it was to God. But it was a good approach. I mean, a good, you know. So let's, anybody else? Any of the questions? All right, so let's just start with the title of this year, which is Digging Their Own Graves. So what is that, the Medrash, the idea of the Medrash, I think is very deep. There's a lot of insight in the Medrash. And then I think we also have to go back to the Psukim and try to understand the flaw by the Meraglim. So if I were to just define the Medrash in the most simple manner, I would say that the Medrash is saying that part of the Onesh of the Meraglim, of the Chet and Meraglim, was that Klal Yisrael had to face their own death. And the idea of digging your own grave and sleeping in your own grave is really facing your death in the most direct manner and contemplating your own death and being able to, you know, I guess, exist or at least face it, you know, face your own death. And the people that lived would get up in the morning, but they'd have to do it every single year. So every year, they had to dig their own graves and sleep in their own graves there's an idea there that it was integral and essential in the Onesh, the punishment to Klal Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael have to, those involved at least, had to face their own death. They had to be able to be aware and not just face it in an accidental way, but in a direct way. And we're all aware of our own, you know, our own death, but it's much different when you have to dig your own grave and sleep in your own grave than it is when you're just walking down the street. So there is a much more direct connection and they had to their own death, and they had to face that. They had to face their own death. Now, why did they have to face their own death? Or why is that part of the Onesh? So I think we have to go back to the Rashi before. The idea of Lumosnu. Okay, so Klal Yisrael, when they're complaining against God, it says, Vatisa, if you look at number 4, go to number 4 on the source sheets. It says, Vatisa kolayda vayinu es kolam vayivku ambalaylahu. They cried all night. Vayilonu al Moshe v'Aaron kol b'nei Yisrael vayomru aleihem kolayda lumosnu be'aretz Mitzrayim o b'midbar hazeh lumosnu. It would have been better had we died in Mitzrayim or die in the Midbar. V'lamo Hashem mevio sanu ela aret hazos l'npo b'cherev nashenu v'tapenu yu lavaz halo tov lanu shuv Mitzrayimah. Why is Hashem going to bring us to Eretz Yisrael in order to die by the sword, and our wives and our children are going to be the spoils of another nation? It's better to go back to Mitzrayim. So what do we see in the nature of their complaint? The nature of their complaint demonstrates that when Klal Yisrael had to anticipate or anticipated a potential destruction or potential demise, potential death, so they couldn't handle it. And their reaction was that almost, it was irrational. It's an irrational thing to say. I'd rather die than exist and face the fear of death. That's what they're saying, because in the explanation of their argument, they're saying that Hashem's going to take us in the future into Eretz Yisrael, and we're going to die there. And that's a future event. But the nature of their argument or their complaint is that they're saying, we'd rather die now. We can't deal, we can't handle with the anxiety, with the fear of death. So their relationship to the fear of death was almost greater than death itself. That the fear of death, the fear of potential demise, was what caused them to regress and what caused their complaint on God. So as part of the Onesh, as part of the punishment on Klal Yisrael, they have to face their own death every single year. Because the fact that they reacted in an irrational way in the possibility of their own demise in the future, the fact that when they would go into Eretz Yisrael, it would cause, or there was a potential for destruction, the fact that they acted irrationally and they almost said that they prefer death, which means that they couldn't handle the anxiety of death, the fear of being destroyed. So that was part of the flaw of Klal Yisrael. That was part of what led them to complain against God. And therefore, when God is constructing, when Hashem is constructing the Onesh for them, he says he's giving them what they asked for, meaning that with every Onesh, it's always Mida Kenegan Mida, but there's also an idea of allowing or helping Klal Yisrael to do tshuva in the process. So Hashem is showing Klal Yisrael in the Onesh and forcing them to face their death in a more rational way than the way they faced it by the Meraglim. See, by the Meraglim, with the very thought of death and destruction in Eretz Yisrael, it gave them or it caused them to spew out this irrational idea that we'd rather die now. And they couldn't face their own destruction in the future. It was too hard for them emotionally. So what's the Onesh is addressing that. The idea of digging their own graves is that the people involved in the complaints, they had to face their own death, and they had to be able to deal with their own death and the potential of their destruction in a more rational way, in a more understanding manner. Okay? All right. So what is the connection now? What is the connection between the Cheira Egel and the Meraglim? So it's also, if you look at number 4, what happens right after this? In Gimel, number 4, Gimel, V'lama Hashem yivio senu al aretz hazos l'npo v'cherev v'nashen v'tapenu yulavaz halo tov lanu shuv Mitzrayimah v'yomru ish l'achiv nitnar rosh v'nashuv Mitzrayimah. So what are they saying? They're going back to Mitzrayim. So you see in the very complaints, they're regressing back into the famous quote, the famous words, slave mentality. That they desire to regress, to go back to Mitzrayim, to go back into the situation that they were in beforehand, to be slaves, avadim and Mitzrayim. But the fact that they're reacting in this way in the very complaint, and the immediate reaction is that we want to go to Mitzrayim, it shows you that one of the sources for their inability to deal with the anxiety of their own destruction and the thought of their own destruction came from the fact that they were slaves and that they lacked a certain confidence. See, a slave doesn't have any confidence. A slave is always worried about dying and is always worried about their destruction, and you can't deal with it rationally when you're a slave. Because you're constantly witnessing death and you're constantly witnessing beatings. The idea is that Klal Yisrael, the fact that they couldn't handle and they couldn't rationally face their own death and destruction, it stemmed from an inability to escape the slave mentality. And the fact that they want to escape and they want to go back to Mitzrayim demonstrates that that's the source of the flaw. The source of the flaw was their inability to break away from the slave mentality fully, and it created this inability to deal with their own potential destruction and demise. And the Onesh, that's why, so now that explains the connection between the Cheda Egal, we're going to explain that, but the Onesh is really addressing that. The Onesh is it's forcing Klal Yisrael to do tshuva and to be able to break away from the slave mentality and be able to face their own death in a rational way. Of course you should be afraid of dying. I mean, death is a scary thought, but there's a rational way to deal with it and there's an irrational, and you see Klal Yisrael dealt with it irrationally. But what is the connection between the Cheda Egal and the Meraglim? So too by the Cheda Egal, I was saying to Debbie before that the Cheda Egal is tied to Klal Yisrael's dependence on Moshe, and they viewed Moshe in the wrong way. And once again, there's a connection there between the slave mentality of Klal Yisrael, that they couldn't exist apart from somebody, they couldn't exist just in an abstract way and relate to God in an abstract way, but they needed a leader, they needed somebody that they felt dependent on, almost like a slave to his master, and they viewed Moshe in an incorrect way, and that's why they needed the Egal. The Egel also stemmed from the inability of Klal Yisrael to break away from the slave mentality. So initially, when Klal Yisrael did, or they were over on the Egel, they were given an opportunity to break away from the slave mentality, to fix their flaw, but they were unable to do that, and that's reflected once again in the Cheda of the Meraglim. But it's being expressed differently by the Cheda of Meraglim in their inability to deal with the potential, in their minds, the potential destruction of going into Eretz Yisrael and dying at the sword of the Canaanim. Okay? You see this idea also, I brought it in from Bishalach, Parshas Bishalach, when they're running away from the Mitzrayim, they almost say the similar thing. They say, Vayomru in number 10, sorry, it says, Vayomru Moshe, Hamibliing for him Mitzrayim, Lekachtana Lamuspa Midbar, Mazosa Sisalanu, Lehotzianu Mitzrayim. As the Mitzrayim are attacking Klal Yisrael, you know, they're saying, were there not enough graves in Mitzrayim that we should die, and now you're taking us to die in the Midbar? They couldn't deal with their destruction. The potential for their destruction was too hard for them to handle. But over there, it was understandable because they were just leaving Mitzrayim. It would make sense that they would still be somewhat under the slave mentality, emotions, and that they would fall under the sway of the Mitzrayim. So there, it was allowed. But once they get into the Midbar and they're already independent from the Mitzrayim, it's time for them to separate themselves from the slave mentality. And these two events, the event of the Egel and the event of the Meraglim, demonstrate that they were unable to do so. Okay? All right, any questions on that idea? Or was it clear? Should I say it again? Okay. All right.
It was clear.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, so what's the idea of this 20? We had a lot of questions on the 20 to 60 and all those things, all those ideas on the ages. Okay, so one, the idea of 60, we said, was strange because what is the concept that the 20-year-old should live to 60? It just demonstrates to me, it's a simple idea. It demonstrates that the nature of the Onesh wasn't about the death itself. It wasn't the death itself. But it was the fact that they had to face their own death. And it was also the idea of not going into Eretz Yisrael. Those were really the two elements of the Onesh. It's true that in the Torah, the Pshat of the Torah, it says, Bamidbar ze yiplu figrechem v'cho pekudechem l'cho mesbarchem. But it seems like the essence of the Onesh wasn't tied to the Misa itself, to the death itself, because then why should a 20-year-old live to 60? But the idea was that they should have to face their own death. And that's why the 20-year-old was allowed to live to 60, because that wasn't included in the onesh. The onesh wasn't to kill them in at a young age. The onesh was that they should – there are two elements to the onesh. One element was that they shouldn't be allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael, but the other element was that they should have to face their own death. So even though they were able to live to 60 – and let's say you were 30 years old and you knew that you would still live to 60, still, the idea of going to your grave and seeing people around you dying and having to sleep in your own grave, it forced you to have to face your own death and demise. And that was really the essential onesh. It wasn't the idea of the Misa itself. Okay?
Yeah. You must have not known exactly what it was, because otherwise you would have known that when they would stop dying, no?
Say it again. Oh, the you mean the idea of the Medrash that the about Tuba Av?
Yeah.
Yeah. There actually, Tosfos answers that. There's different answers given. I don't really want to get into that, but they try to explain why it was that in the last year they didn't die. So it's a good question, but there's a lot of technical answers as to why that is. Okay.
Do you think they knew? Do you think they knew how it was set up? How it was either they could live until 60 or.
It could, yeah, I think so. But even just because it says that they could live till 60, that 60 was a minimum. So I think they could live even beyond 60. But at least they had to live to 60. So I think if they, even if they were 30, they knew that they couldn't die. But it doesn't matter. Just the fact that you're going, that's what Rashi says. He says, "Lo meis echad me'am pachos v'ben shishim." Nobody died under 60. But still, the fact that you have to go out and dig your own grave and sleep in your own grave is really facing your own death. And that's really the essential idea of the onesh. It's not the death itself. It's the idea of facing your own death, because that's where their flaw emerged. Their flaw emerged in their inability to face their own death and their inability to face their own demise. And I explained before that that's tied to the slave mentality, the fact that they couldn't be independent of the mitzrayim and that slave mentality, and therefore they couldn't approach death in a rational way, in a more consistent way. Just one more thing about the 60. So what's the idea of the 60? Why would the 61-year-old not be punished? So I was thinking about this, but I think it fits into the idea of the Svara. The idea of a 60-year-old is that you're old when you're 60. But once you hit 60, death becomes more of a reality to you. And you start thinking, I mean, I'm not 60 yet, but you start thinking about it. It becomes more real to you, and it's not as distant. It's not far off in the future. So even a 60-year-old would be subject to at least that aspect of the onesh, the idea of facing their own death, because once you hit 60, it's more apparent to you. So the idea is that a 60-year-old wasn't included in the onesh, because if the essential onesh, the essential idea of the onesh, is facing your own destruction and demise, but doing it and forcing them to face it in a more constructive manner, so the 60-year-old already experiences that. So he doesn't have to be included in the onesh of those between 20 and 60. So that was just the idea that I was thinking of to explain why 60 years old wouldn't be included. And the reason why a 60-year-old is not the connection by the Erechin, the reason why a 60-year-old is compared to less than 20 is because of the weakness of the 60-year-old. Because a 60-year-old is frail, just like a person under 20 is more frail. Once you hit 20 and above, you become stronger, you're able to work harder. So there's a frailty to the 60-year-old, but that frailty is tied to, or it should remind a normal, natural person who's 60 years old, it should remind them of their own potential demise and their potential to die. And that's what I think the relationship is between the two, between the 60 and the 20. But that's why it's bringing to Erechin, because Erechin is tied to the frailty of the 60-year-old. Okay? But the overall idea is that a 60-year-old, once you hit 60, you really have to face your death. And you're forced into it, and you have to face it in a more rational way because it's right in front of you. It's more apparent. Okay? So that really is the shiur tonight. And I think there was a lot of depth and insight into the Onesh that was constructed by God to Klal Yisrael. So let me just go over the main points of the shiur. So the main points of the shiur were based on the Medrash. I'm going to start from the Medrash. So the Medrash said that Klal Yisrael had to dig their own, everybody between 20 and 60 had to, at the time of the Meraglim, or even the year before, had to dig their own graves every Erev Tisha B'Av, and then when they woke up in the morning, those who woke up, and those who died, died. So it's a very strange Medrash. How do we understand it? Why was that necessary as part of the Onesh? So it seems like the essential idea of the Onesh was to face their own death. And why is that the case? Because if you look in the complaints of Klal Yisrael, they indicate an inability of Klal Yisrael to face their potential destruction in Eretz Yisrael, their potential destruction in Eretz Yisrael, and the idea that it comes from the slave mentality. And the slave mentality was also responsible for the Egel, for the Cheta Egel. And also, lastly, the idea of the ages demonstrates that the Onesh wasn't essentially Misa, but it was more to face their own death and demise. And even the 60-year-old, the person over 60, has to face their own death, a potential death, in a more consistent and a more apparent manner. So therefore, the 60-year-old isn't included in the Onesh. Okay? Can everybody hear me on the phone line or no?